How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Psalm 36:7. Psalm 36:8. They drink their fill of the abundance of thy house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Psalm 36:8. They drink of their fill of the abundance of their house, and you give them to drink of the river of your delights. Psalm 36:8. Psalm 36:9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36:9. For with you, Lord, is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Psalm 36:9. Psalm 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Psalm 103:2-3. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases. Psalm 103:2-3. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we are the recipients of your grace in salvation, grace experientially by which to live each day, and also the grace that one day will take us to our eternal home. We're thankful for positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, and ultimate sanctification. We're thankful for the salvation we know through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the privilege of living each day to advance and to grow. We are thankful for the fact that we have the assurance of one day having our homecoming when we leave this earth and go into our Lord's presence where we'll be throughout eternity. We thank you for your wonderful provisions and your great blessings upon our lives. We thank you for the opportunity to study. Pray that you'll bless us in these brief moments today. In Jesus' name, amen. In the session just preceding this one, I realized that I took a tremendous amount of time. So I want to assure you that if you'll think rapidly, I shall speak rapidly, and this message will not be as long as the preceding one. We have before us today a magnificent verse, Ephesians 3:19, which says, "And to know the love of Christ, excelling knowledge, in order that you may be filled to all the fullness of God." On Wednesday night, we'll be dealing with the last part of the verse, which deals with the filling of the Spirit, that you may be filled to the fullness of God. Over the last two sessions, we presented to you 9 important words. I realize that perhaps by now you have these words copied down and you're able to look at them and they're meaningful to you. I trust that they shall be more meaningful to you as we move along even in this session today. On the screen, I'm going to place again these 9 words. These are different than the ones preceding. Same words, of course, but this time I'm putting them in English and also in the Greek. In the preceding session today, I presented them to you only in the English and did not present the Greek words. Most of you are impressed with the fact that the Word of God is so powerful and that the Greek words are so important. Some of you may or may not be all that interested in the Greek words, but I put them up here for you anyway because I feel like that these words, when comprehended, will be so meaningful to all of us. The first word that you see on the screen is the word cardia, which is K-A-R-D-I-A. You can read that, I trust, from where you're sitting. It emphasizes the mentality of the soul. You have, as a born-again believer, a saved soul. Any person alive has a soul. The soul will live on forever. You and I, as born-again believers, are aware of the fact that the Bible teaches that when we leave this life as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we'll be with our Savior throughout eternity. So we have the ability while we're here to utilize and properly train the mentality of the soul, which is a cardia. The second word that you see on the screen is the word nous, which is the word mind. In the Greek, that word is spelled N-O-U-S. The third word, similar, of course, is N-O-E-O. This is a verb. We have a noun here in nous. We have a verb in the third word, which is the word for thinking. A verb is an action word, and so we have the utilization of the mind being active by the word noeo. The next word that you see on the screen is knowledge, and that is the Greek word gnosis. We've presented that information time and time again, and so you have no difficulty with that. The next word is the Greek word phroneo, which is objective thinking, and another word that we use is phronesis. We'll be seeing that word in our presentation today. But just look at this one, if you will. It's objective thinking, P-H-R-O-N-E-O. Subjective thinking is word number 6, which is D-O-K-E-O. The seventh word is epinosis, full knowledge, E-P-I-G-N-O-S-I-S. The eighth word is the word that we have presented to you, and we shall repeat and utilize that word in this message, and that is the word Sophia, which is wisdom, or what we classify as workable knowledge. So if you will, put down out by the side of the word Sophia, workable knowledge. And then another beautiful word is the last one we have on the screen, which is number 9, which is sunesis, C-S-U-N-E-S-I-S. And it's an emphasis upon comprehension or the ability to have insight into the wonderful word of God. So you have those 9 words. I trust that they're meaning for you and that you will remember that the word that we're presenting now is the Greek word Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, and that is the word wisdom. So you can see that we have on the screen now for you some information dealing with the subject of wisdom. Wisdom is reasoning power, the ability to follow the best course. I feel like I need to repeat those comments. Wisdom is reasoning power, the ability to follow the best course. It means the art of being successful. Those two major things related to wisdom being reasoning power. Sophia is a Greek word, beautiful word, which means wisdom. We have an emphasis upon the application of God's truth. We utilize the truth on a day-by-day basis. And so it is the ability to follow God's best course for us, the art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not human rational thought. We can see things from a human vantage point, or we can see things from a vertical divine viewpoint. When we study God's Word consistently and faithfully, the more we study, the more we're able to see from God's vantage point, a vertical viewpoint. Many people don't have vertical viewpoint, which is sad and tragic. And you and I must realize the importance of seeing life from a divine vantage point. And so wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, not human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. God provides what is necessary to face the various trials of life. All of us have various temptations, trials, difficulties, burdens, heartaches. God provides what is necessary for us to face life with its trials. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. I don't know whether you're taking any of this information down. I'm trying to give you some brief statements in relationship to this magnificent subject of wisdom or Sophia. God provides the searching believer generously in grace. We take a look now at to the word philosophy. Philosophy, philos is love. The wisdom, Sophia, is an emphasis on study or learning. So philosophy is rapport with wisdom. Philos, love. Sophia, sophos, wisdom. So we're able to see a little bit of the meaning of the word philosophy given to you now on the screen. Wisdom is a beautiful word found in the Word of God. While Sophia is the insight into the true nature of things, the Greek word phroneo, phronesis, which we gave you a few moments ago, is the ability to discern modes of action with a view to their results. We'll spend a few moments here just analyzing what I've said. In the nine words, you have the word phroneo. The word also is phronesis. You can see the relationship between those two words. And on the screen now, I have, while Sophia is the insight into the true nature of things, phroneo or phronesis is the ability to discern modes of action with a view to their results. Sophia is theoretical. Phronesis is practical. And it's very important for us to see the difference between those two words, and you'll see it again on the screen. Sophia is the insight into the true nature of things. Phronesis, or phroneo, is the ability to discern motives of action with a view to their results. We've presented this. We repeat, Sophia is theoretical. Phronesis, or phroneo, is practical. Lightfoot gives us that information. Another word that we have on the screen, number nine, is the Greek word sunesis. Sunesis, a beautiful word, S-U-N-E-S-I-S. It is the word that we could translate understanding. It's a critical word indeed. It emphasizes the ability to see things objectively, and I translated it intelligence. It's the critical faculty of learning. On the screen now, I've got given you two words, and one of those is Sophia. Here it is in the Greek, S-O-P-H-I-A. The second word is phronesis, P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. If you're interested in the Greek, there it is. Now, I wanted to present to you today some emphasis on how we find wisdom in the Word of God. The first thing is that in the book of Proverbs, there's a tremendous amount of emphasis on the subject of wisdom. If you notice in today's bulletin, we have an insert that covers a lot of verses that deal with the subject of wisdom. And I would encourage you to take that insert out, put it in your Bible, and refer to it often, because it's a magnificent list of scriptures, beautiful verses. It actually talks about wisdom for people who are older. If you'll notice those first verses that are listed there, it has to do with old age and the fact that a person who gets older should have the ability to make application of the truth of God's Word, which is Sophia. Wisdom is available. On the screen you see those words. Wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. Let's spend a few moments there. Wisdom is available. In the first session today, we've taken you through various steps. I trust you're able right now to give these words back to me. You have gnosis. You have an emphasis upon moving gnosis to epinosis, which is the utilization and application of the truth of God's Word. I feel like that all of you have been able to understand the fact that the word epinosis is the Greek word which means full, over, and above knowledge. It is the ability to receive truth from God's Word, add and blend that truth with faith and acceptance, and the ability to store, the ability to utilize, the ability to comprehend, the ability to make application. I'm trying to use various words there to describe how we are not to let gnosis remain unchanged or not added to. And so I'm trying to let you see that we are emphasizing certain words that will take you from gnosis through epinosis into Sophia, wisdom, even emphasis to the point of sunesis, which is the utilization and application of truth. All of these words are very powerful words indeed. Wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. Now we're going to ask you to look with me, not in the old scripture, but just look at the screen. In Proverbs chapter 1, it is wisdom that moves the believer. If you study chapter 1 of the book of Proverbs, you will see that wisdom is that which moves the believer. If you go to chapter 2, it is wisdom that drives us away from disobedience. All of these chapters in Proverbs, those first five chapters, are so outstanding. If I were you, I would write down an abbreviated form in relationship to each one of these chapters. Let me go back and let you see again. Chapter 1, wisdom is that which moves the believer. Number 2, chapter 2, wisdom is that which drives us away from sin and disobedience. So that's very important. When you go into Proverbs chapter 3, it is wisdom that gives joy and peace and contentment and happiness, security. All of those things are found beautifully presented in Proverbs chapter 3. When you go to Proverbs chapter 4, it is wisdom that gives good judgment and common sense. Most of us desire good judgment, common sense. We find that presented beautifully in Proverbs chapter 4. When you go to Proverbs chapter 5, it is wisdom that guards the young man from the prostitute. Very interesting chapter. I don't know whether you've read it recently or not, but you ought to read Proverbs chapter 5. And it has to do with youth. It actually has to do with a person of any age, and that is that the Word of God keeps you protected from the utilization of the sin of lasciviousness. And we've studied that before. We're familiar with the word lasciviousness. We're familiar with the Greek word asalagia. We're familiar with these words. Proverbs chapter 5, it's wisdom that guards a young man from the prostitute. Now, what I've done is just sectioned out some information that I want you to be able to see on the subject of wisdom. The next session is wisdom comes from God. Let's look at this. Very important. Wisdom is from God, learned by study of the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. Very important words. Wisdom is from God. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, and shaped by the Holy Spirit. Powerful indeed, quickly can be stated, but it takes a long time to be able to comprehend the true meaning of those statements. Wisdom is from God, learned by study, shaped by the Holy Spirit. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously, and He doesn't insult us for asking. It's good to know that God desires that we advance. Delight in the heart of God to give us wisdom. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously. He doesn't insult us when we ask. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. We'll pause for a few moments and let you think about those words. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. Wisdom is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. When you analyze the essence of God, when you take a look at what God is really like, God has sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. Most of you, after 40-some-odd years of studying the Word of God and hearing me time and time again give you those 10 characteristics, could quote them very quickly back to me. Sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. How fantastic. So we discover that it is God's gift of the beauty of holiness. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, as we gave you information in the first session today, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, we discover that there are two major characteristics of the members of the Godhead, the Father Himself satisfied. We have righteousness on the one hand, we have judgment on the other hand. We have the fact that God was totally satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ and God's holiness satisfied. God's justice satisfied. On the one hand, we discover that God is the giver of everything. God is all wise, all knowing. God is all powerful. God is holy, no doubt about that. We discover that God is holy, but man is unholy. Man is sinful. Man is depraved. Fallen, sinful man has to be helped. And there's only one way for sinful mankind to be helped, and that is by the manifestation of the holiness of God. God manifested the holiness by way of giving His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. Justice says that sin has to be paid for. And all of us are aware of the fact that you and I, within our own strength, can do nothing to lift ourselves into the presence of God. Justice says sin has to be paid for. And the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come to the earth and go to the cross and pay for your sins and mine. So God's essence is so beautifully satisfied. His holiness, made up of God's righteousness and justice, satisfied because we see what Jesus Christ did to satisfy God's holiness on the one hand and God's justice on the other hand. So we see that wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is the gift, God's gift, of the beauty of holiness. What have I just done? I just used a bunch of words to describe for you how fantastic God is. Presenting to you characteristics, essence of the members of the Godhead. Wisdom is reasoning power, the ability to follow the best course. There's no doubt in my mind that you and I, as we learn and grow and advance, will be able to use this reasoning power, which is the ability to follow the best course for our lives. Notice, if you will, please, wisdom is the art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've said this before, and not found in human rational thought. Wisdom is found in Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, God provides everything we need for life and for godliness. I'm trying to just skip through and give you some major statements in relationship to that wonderful subject of God's magnificent righteousness. God provides what is necessary to face the trials of life. Wisdom, God's means of making application of God's truth. God provides a searching believer generously in grace. That takes me then to James chapter 1, verse 5. When I put this on the screen, some of you are going to say to yourself, I memorized that verse a long time ago. That's right. Look at it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all unreservedly and not reproaching, and it will be given to him or her. James 1:5 is a passage that needs to be memorized in relationship to this subject of wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all unreservedly and not reproaching, and it will be given to him. Another verse of scripture that you probably have memorized is 1 Corinthians 1:30, which says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Some of you are saying, now, preacher, you just thought I memorized that one, but I didn't. Well, put it down and memorize it. But of him are you in Christ, Paul said to the Corinthian believers, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Have you forgotten? Oh, maybe you have. Maybe you haven't. Have you forgotten the word wisdom? Oh, I know you haven't forgotten it. It's the word Sophia. You see it on the screen again. Some of you who never made any plans to learn any Greek, you're learning it anyway. And I'm happy for you. Some of you have said to yourself, I have no desire to go that way. I am not going to learn Greek, even though occasionally our preacher mentions it. Well, what you're doing now is you're able to detect. And many of you by now are able to see Greek letters and you're able to say what they are. Here is S-O-P-H-I-A, which is the Greek word Sophia. And it's the word that's presented to you here on the screen, S-O-P-H-I-A. What does it mean? It means wisdom. The book of James is a magnificent book dealing with that subject of wisdom. In James chapter 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. I've always enjoyed seeing that Greek word hypokritos, because it means hypocritical or not being hypocritical. In other words, when you look at James 3, 6, 17, it says the wisdom that's from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without uncertainty, and without hypocrisy. When I go back to Ephesians 1, 8, it emphasizes the utilization of wisdom, which is right thinking. And right thinking manifests itself in right living. From which grace, Ephesians 1:8 says, from which grace he, God the Father, has caused to superabound toward us by means of all biblical concepts and divine viewpoints. When you look at Ephesians 1:8, it says superabound. What you're able to see is that there's a connection between Ephesians 3:19 and Ephesians 1:8, which emphasizes the fact that God desires us to have what is known as the echo zone life, the fruitful, victorious, triumphant life. that we superabound by means of biblical concepts and divine viewpoint. And if you'll notice that divine viewpoint here, let me spell it for you. P-H-R-O-N-E-S-I-S. Phronesis. Phroneo. Superabound, more than enough. God removed us from the slave market of sin and desires that we have the proper use on a day-by-day basis of wisdom, the application of knowledge. May we pray together, please. Thank you, Father, for the time we've been together today. We've been made to realize once again how great you are and how much we need to advance spiritually. Help us throughout this day, a day of rejoicing, a day of fellowship, a day of enjoying each other. We thank you most of all for the fact that we've been able today to enjoy our relationship with the Word of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And as we come to the last minute of this service, we're aware of the fact that there may be someone out there who has yet not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This would be a wonderful time for them to do that. We realize that the Bible says that when God loved, He loved the world. And that when Christ died, He died for everyone. We pray that there will be those at this very moment who will realize that they can be saved by accepting you, because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We're thankful that Jesus loved us so much that He was willing to do everything He's done, and that God loved us so much that He was willing to give His Son, that we through Him might have life forever and ever with our Savior in heaven. We pray that you will help those who are unsaved today to realize that the Scripture says that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He said it Himself when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. And the Scripture says then, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed. See you this afternoon.